You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. Last week, a judge ruled that Idaho prison officials must release several documents on the death penalty, including some that will uncover where the state gets the lethal injection drugs used in its last execution, which happened 7 years ago. If you recall, back in 2017, University of Idaho law professor Aliza Cover filed a public records request with the Idaho Department of Correction to get that information. Her request was denied, and that's when Cover sued the state of Idaho. That trial began in January, and 4th District Judge Lynn Norton made her ruling Thursday. Joining me live to talk more about the case and the ruling are Aliza Cover and the attorney who represented her in the case, Molly Kufka, with the ACLU of Idaho. Both of you, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much for having us.
And before we get started, I do want to quickly note that we did reach out to the Idaho Department of Correction to ask them to join us for this conversation. They did decline, saying, quote, "We are still weighing our legal options and considering how we might go forward," unquote. So, Aliza, I want to start with you because you study the death penalty as part of your work. So you file a public records request. Tell me what documents you requested.
Sure. So I was requesting a number of different documents. First of all, just an updated protocol in terms of what the lethal injection protocol would be in the state, as well as documents about lethal injection drugs that the state was trying to or had already obtained for future executions, as well as information about the drugs or lethal injection drug sources, communications, et cetera, for the Rhodes and Levitt execution.
So when you filed that, the IDOC did give you some records.
Yes, some limited records. So they gave me access to the protocol that was on the website and a few limited pieces of information as well.
And when they denied part of that request, did they give you a reason as to why?
They did. So they cited a board rule, which essentially protects against disclosure of information that might jeopardize a future execution.
And this is an issue that comes up across the country, correct? So talk to me about that, because a lot of states do not want to reveal where they purchase these drugs.
Absolutely. So, that's really part of the impetus behind my effort to get access to this information. This is really a national issue that's going on around the country. So over the past 8, 9, 10 years, it's become increasingly difficult for states to access drugs to use in executions. Formerly, they were able to get those through major pharmaceutical companies that are really well regulated. But pharmaceutical companies have no longer wanted to be participating in executions. And therefore, those drugs are not available from those sources. And as a result, states have started turning to less reputable sources for these drugs, including compounding pharmacies, including foreign sources that are not well regulated, sometimes illegally importing those drugs from foreign sources. And so this has become a real cause for concern, both in terms of lack of transparency and government accountability, and also because of concerns about potential botched executions that might cause excruciating pain for the person who is being executed.
And so, Molly, when all of this happened, when did the ACLU get involved and file this lawsuit and represent Aliza in this lawsuit?
So we filed our lawsuit in February of 2018 and asking the court to intervene because based on the Department of Corrections response as to why they only disclosed 49 pages to Professor Cover initially, we felt that it was an unlawful withholding of public records. And mind you, the Idaho Public Records Act provides a presumption that records from public agencies should be disclosed and accessible to the public. So it was in February 2018 when we filed the lawsuit.
When it was filed, did either of you think that almost a year later it would actually end up going to trial?
I'm surprised. I mean, so I think it's really unusual for a public records case to go to trial. But I think this also has provided a really important opportunity for the public to understand sometimes how difficult it can be to access records, even when they are, supposed to be disclosed under the public records law. And the fact that it has taken a year and a half and a whole lot of resources from the ACLU to sort of make this possible. It means something in terms of how difficult it can be for regular people in Idaho to access information.
And transparency.
And
correct.
Transparency, yeah.
I'm speaking with ACLU of Idaho attorney Molly Kafka and University of Idaho law professor Aliza Cover. We're talking about a recent ruling from Judge Lynn Norton in the 4th District. And I want to talk now about the ruling in particular. So the trial started in January, went 5 days. And then last Thursday, Judge Norton released her ruling, 77 pages. Molly, talk to me about part of that ruling, because some of it was fairly scathing.
Yes. I mean, especially on Judge Norton's analysis of Jeffrey Ray, the public information officer of the Idaho Department of Corrections, and Deputy Director Jeff Zamuda, and IDOC as a whole, is how they handle this public records request. In fact, Judge Norton found that Jeff Ray acted in bad faith in that, I mean, he didn't even know he was a designated custodian of records for the Department of Corrections until his deposition in January of 2019. And mind you, he in trial, it was revealed that he had handled other public records requests. And the Idaho Department of Correction has been withholding records, not just for Professor Cover's public records request regarding lethal injection information, but for many people who have requested the same information over the past number of years. Mm. So, you know, Jeff Ray was under the impression he wasn't responsible to ensure that Professor Cover's public records request was, you know, that she was being provided with the records that IDOC had, because a records custodian, a designated records custodian, must make an objective analysis as to whether or not a public records request is being responded to with the records that exist. Mm-hmm. And he did not go through that process. In fact, at trial, and Judge Norton highlighted this, Mr. Ray said that it wasn't his thing and he had a lot going on. So another aspect to this is when a public agency responds to a public records request and states some records have not been disclosed, they don't list the number of records not disclosed. Mm. So the public is kind of going on an agency's word that they're complying with the Public Records Act of Idaho. Now, IDOC and Mr. Zamuda were also found to have acted frivolously in how they responded to Professor Cover's request. I mentioned earlier that they initially provided her with 49 pages of records. Over the course of this litigation, over 2,000 pages of records were produced. And at the time of Professor Cover's request in September of 2017, Jeff Zamuda knew of 600 pages of records. And he was sent an email before it was sent to Professor Cover with the records that were going to be sent to Professor Cover, those 49 pages. Yet he failed to act in making sure that Professor Cover was going to get those 600 pages he knew existed.
And I want to talk about another part of her ruling. So Judge Norton said that Idaho must release a receipt from the compounding pharmacy that provided the drugs used in Richard Albert Levitt's execution in 2012. This was the last execution in the state of Idaho. But she also went on to say, and make sure I'm getting this correct, Molly, is that the department, though, can withhold part of a document that might expose future suppliers. So does that go back to, Professor Cover, what you have been saying as part of this national issue, is that they don't want to give up those sources?
It does. So, yes, the judge has ruled disclosure of information about the source for the later execution because that source has indicated that they are no longer able to comply with regulations, so they will not be providing execution drugs in the future in any event. And so this is still an issue in terms of what Judge Norton ruled, right, that I do not yet have access to information about a source that we may or may not be able to provide execution drugs in the future. And so that is still something. I don't think that the public interest in knowing that type of information has adequately been recognized yet in this mm-hmm. case.
Do you think that there was, would you have hoped that Judge Norton had ruled more stringently on this part of it?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Yes. And we hope that, you know, the state legislature does something in response, such as, you know, making sure that the lethal injection chemical sources in the future and in the past are publicly disclosed, and, you know, make IDOC disclose that information on their website so the public can immediately access that. Mm-hmm. There are lots of ways that both the state legislature and the Department of Correction can respond, you know, as they should.
And, go ahead.
And in terms of the public interest, that is really critical information in terms of ensuring that future executions take place in a way that comports with the mm-hmm. Constitution, that is humane, that is not going to cause excruciating pain to the individual who's being executed. And because there are so many concerns about the sources of these execution drugs, and this is not just in Idaho, but nationally, we've seen lots of really concerning information about where these drugs mm-hmm. are being obtained. We do need that information. The public needs to know that in their role as ensuring government and accountability and in ensuring that punishment is not cruel and unusual under the Eighth Amendment.
And part of that, too, your point about the Eighth Amendment, is that there have been a handful of cases where we have heard stories, witnessed executions that have been botched.
Exactly.
And does it go back to where are these Department of Corrections across the country getting their drugs now that Big Pharma has pulled out?
Exactly. And that is a really serious concern that individuals who are facing the death penalty are experiencing, right? Mm-hmm. That they don't have the assurance that there's going to be a suffering-free mm-hmm. or at least, you know, without an undue risk of suffering.
Now, you know, there are people listening right now who say that that doesn't matter. They are on death row for a reason, but it still goes back to the Constitution.
Absolutely. I think it goes back to the Constitution. It also goes back to, you know, sort of public decency. And that is part of the Constitution, right? Sort of standards of decency, contemporary standards of decency. I think there are a lot of people who may think that the death penalty is a justified punishment, but don't want to torture somebody as part of that death penalty, mm-hmm. right? And there are limits on what the government should be doing when it's using its highest moment of power to take somebody's life.
So since the ruling came out Thursday, what is next? Because as you said, Professor Cover, you have not received the documents.
And we haven't received any of the new documents that okay. have been ordered. Disclosed at this point.
Right. And Judge Norton's order was effective immediately on Thursday of March 21st. So these documents need to be disclosed as soon as possible.
Do they have a time period to get those documents to you? Or if it is immediate, are we dealing with a time frame here as to when the IDOC should be giving you the documents?
Again, the order was effective immediately, so Judge Norton didn't put a span of time for IDOC to turn over the records and turn over the unredacted mm-hmm. Portions that she ordered. So we need to get those documents. We need to review them and make those determination of what to do moving forward.
Because there are 7 men, 1 woman on death row in Idaho right now, and would that potentially play a part in their execution dates, things like that, when we look at where the state is getting the execution drugs?
So it's hard to know without knowing exactly what the information is. I mean, I think that's really the crux of the problem here, that we don't know, right? The public doesn't have that information. People on death row don't have that information. And so what happens from there is really a big question mark, depending.
I want to thank both of you for coming in today. I appreciate the conversation. My guest today, University of Idaho Law Professor Aliza Cover and ACLU of Idaho Attorney Molly Kufka, talking about a recent ruling by Judge Lynn Norton. I want to make a quick note again. I said this at the top of the segment, but do want to let you know that we did invite the Idaho Department of Correction to join our conversation today. They declined. Thank you both very
much
for coming
in. Thank you.